Father, we do thank you for your word. Please soften our hearts, open our minds to receive from you. Amen. So I think something's wrong with my microphone, isn't it? Okay. I was thinking back over last year and thinking all the things that I am thankful for about St. Mary's. And very quickly, I made a list. I didn't even really have to think, and it got to about 40 things. And I was thinking, this is amazing. This is really great. God is really good. And just a few highlights from that. I suppose I can't mention them all, but it's great, isn't it, that our CAP Centre is now fully up and running, and that people are being freed from debt. Every year, a number of people are freed from debt through the CAP Centre and are free to lead lives free of debt and free... Sorry, I'm going to move to... Sorry about this. So it's wonderful that so many people are freed from debt and allowed to live flourishing lives without that feeling of that sort of burden on them every month, every time they wake up. And then I think of Christchurch, which has become now quite a flourishing community of it in itself now. It's become a church that can actually grow and build. And as people now begin to move on to the new development, it's there ready to receive them, which is wonderful. And I think about our pastoral team and how that's grown with Steve and Paul and a whole team of people offering all sorts of different pastoral services. So that there's that safety net there the whole time. And then I think of our vocations, the fact that we've sent Stephen off to college, that Sophie is about to finish her time at college and go off to be a curate, that Ruth New has joined the ALM training course at Ridley and is training to be a families missioner there. And Graham Biss, as he's become licensed lay minister and is sharing the leadership with Stephen at Christchurch. And also, there's two friends of ours this morning, Ben and Sarah, here this morning. They've been sent, partly because of the relationship with us, to Downham Market to start up a new, fresh expression of church and new community there, which is really wonderful. So it's great to have you with us this morning. That's really good. And then I think about Feast on a Saturday morning and how that new congregation is beginning to grow up, once a month at the moment, but maybe once a week going forward. And the relationship with St. Mary's School, which is blossoming, how the head and other members of staff are welcoming us in there more and more. I'm in there actually tomorrow afternoon to talk about what a perfect vicar looks like. So if anybody's got any ideas, I certainly haven't, then that would be really helpful. There's also that it feels like we're within touching distance of being able to press the go button on phase one of the building project. Just a couple of 100,000 needed and thereabouts and a couple of bits of permission. But it does feel that we've moved quite a long way on that. So I give thanks for that as well. For our home groups, some of them are so crammed to the gunnels that actually they're going to need to split into two soon and start a new group. So there'll be two groups coming out of one, which is wonderful. Refresh on a Tuesday morning with dozens of kids and parents and toddlers and carers in there, and a little Bible study at the end, which more and more people are now taking part in. Thursday morning community, the market day community, a safe place for people to come and a community to join. For Jam, as we've just seen all our kids go off to the Sunday school this morning. For Creative Minds on a Monday afternoon, when people who want to express their faith through their art and find a way of doing that on a Monday afternoon, that's thriving as well. So many things to give thanks for. So I'm really, really glad of all these things that are happening, and so many more as well. And they all really play into that great commission that we heard from the book of Matthew when Rachel read to us. The Great Commission of Jesus. Now, the context for this reading in Matthew is that it's Jesus with his disciples. And they're on a mountain. A lot of big things happen when Jesus is on a mountain. And this is no exception. And it's just after he's been resurrected. So he's been victorious over death. And he's ready to give the disciples responsibility as he returns to heaven. So it's a big crescendo. It's like the end of a Beethoven symphony. And in these last few chords, so much is packed in. And there are some echoes from earlier on in Jesus' life. There's echoes. So in verse 20, it says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age," says Jesus. And that echoes back to chapter 1, where God comes as Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, as we remembered at Christmas. God is with us to the very end. And there's echoes of the temptation in chapter 4 of Matthew as well, of Christ, because Jesus says, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." And he could have had that authority, by breaking his covenant with God and just accepting what Satan had and having this cheap way of ruling over the earth. But actually he didn't. He went through death, resurrection, and ascension in order that we could have that authority through him. So there's all sorts of echoes, all sorts of things coming together in this passage. The ruling one, that Jesus has authority, is quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because at that time, and certainly still now, that seems like a work in progress, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like the world is kind of been subdued by God yet. But what's interesting is that the Great Commission that Jesus gives to the disciples shows us that actually God is trusting us to do the work, at least for the moment. It's a bit of a shock, isn't it, that we have to play our part in bringing this world into God's kingdom. We make many mistakes, don't we? We're demotivated sometimes. But nevertheless, we are the disciples that Jesus is trusting to make his plan work in this world. So don't be surprised if you pray, "Thy kingdom come," and you're asked to help. It might be the case. So Jesus gives us three tasks in this Great Commission. The first one is make disciples. Jesus called his disciples, didn't he? There were fishermen, there were tax collectors, different types of people, just like there are different types of people in this church this morning. And he apprenticed them. They sat at his feet, they listened to him, they practiced by imitating him, and then they came back and tried to work out whether they'd done it right or wrong, and Jesus was coaching them and mentoring them. And ever since, it's been our responsibility to encourage other people to follow, to listen, and to walk with Jesus. It's our job to be evangelists, to share the good news of Jesus to our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, our family, to encourage them to come to faith and surrender their lives, as I hope we have in our lives. So our job is to engage, isn't it, with those around us, to make disciples. And Jesus says, "The harvest is ripe, but there's few harvesters." Well, there's 150 harvesters maybe coming through here this morning. So it's our job to be harvesters. So that's the first thing, to make disciples, to engage with our world outside. And the second thing is to baptize. Jesus says that make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, when Jesus was baptized, it was a drama. He went right under the water with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist then drew him right up out of the water. As he went down, it was a picture of death of everything that was wrong. There was nothing wrong in Jesus' lives, but of course, when we're baptized, it's really important that we see all those wrongdoings, all those shortcomings eliminated from our lives, forgiven forever. So we go down into the river and then back up again in new life, to rise to new life in Christ. So Jesus' baptism was an enactment of that drama. It's an outward sign of something that's going on inside each of us, that each of us has a new life ahead as a result. Jesus was anointed and equipped, wasn't he? He heard from God, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Wonderful thing to hear from your Father. And then he was filled with the Holy Spirit and sent off into the wilderness to be tempted. So just as Jesus was baptized and then went on to baptize others, our job is to grow the church through baptism, to anoint, to equip, to send out. So as people come to faith, it's important that they are baptized. It's not really an optional extra in Jesus' eyes. So if you're not baptized and you believe you have a faith, then please come and see me and we can put that right. We can sort that out. We can get a baptism organized. And if you want to know how it feels, Daniel will tell you. He was one of the last adults we baptized here last year. So we are to make disciples, to engage, and we're called to baptize, to grow the church. And then we're told to teach as well. The gospel lifestyle is radically different. It's easy to make assumptions that it's just about doing good, not telling that odd lie, not nicking that pen from church I've heard in so many sermons over the years. But actually, what Jesus is talking about is that the gospel lifestyle is really radically different. It's deep, not petty. It actually changes our lives forever. And that's true of individuals, it's true of churches, and it's true, especially at the moment, of governments as well. So we're to deepen ourselves and each other in faith through teaching. So those three things, we're called to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. We call it engage, grow, deepen here. Engage with those around us, call people to faith, grow the church, expect people to be baptized, and then to deepen our faith through teaching and understanding, discovering together what the Bible says for us. And God is with us to the very end of our lives. What a promise in that. And we can see that in Jesus' Great Commission, he feels that anyone without a living, daily, constant relationship with God is lost. Lost to God, lost in their heart and soul, lost to their vocation, lost to their community. That's why my greatest joy is being on the edge of the church, engaging with those on the outside, rather than those who are ready or who are already on the inside. There's plenty of people who are gifted at pastoring and teaching and caring for people on the inside, so that people like me can get out on the outside. But all of us actually are called to be on the outside. We're here to win people to Christ, and there's no need to apologize for that. We're here to make Christ's love visible. We exist to be alive in Jesus and to make Christ's love visible in our communities. We're here to cross boundaries. We're here to build bridges, to make connections, so that Jesus can do his transforming work amongst our friends and colleagues. I was in a meeting the other day with Bishop Stephen, and he said, "There is no future for the church without an evangelical resolve for the gospel, conversion, and transformation." In other words, it's not okay not to offer the good news of Jesus to our friends. It's important that we remain evangelists, because the church is either growing or it's dying. There's nothing in between. And our business is therefore urgent. Our business is with the 95% of people in Ely who never cross the threshold of a church. But they are valuable to God. So how will we play our part at St. Mary's this year and in the coming years? Well, last year the PCC went away and we had a bit of a think about what things would really make a difference if we were to take them seriously in St. Mary's. And we came up with three things that we felt would make a big difference. The first one is abiding in God. We've talked quite a bit about this over the last year or so. Because unless we abide in God, unless we surrender to him, allow him to forgive us and fill us with his Spirit, and to be changed radically, then we haven't got anything to give to anyone else. It's got to start with our own hearts. Otherwise, we've got no good news to share at all. That's why we've been doing Holy Habits, for a closer walk with God. That's why we're currently doing the Way of Life series as well. And in fact, next week, we're going to start a new series every month on the book of James, so that we can mature in our faith in Christ. Each one of us has to take responsibility for ourselves. We can't do it for each other. It's up to you and me to put ourselves in a place where God can develop us, refine us, and inspire us. So that's the first thing, to make sure that our daily walk with Christ is real. It's happening. We're allowing God to change us and to be what we can be under his rule. And then the second thing The second big thing that we really want to focus on is growing in groups. One of the things about St. Mary's, I think, is that when people come here for the first time, it's quite daunting, isn't it? If you look around, it's quite a big group of people. And so it's quite difficult to join. It's quite difficult to belong. However hard we work and making sure people feel welcome, however, you know, however careful we are to make sure that everybody feels like they can belong, it's quite difficult. And if you're here for the first time this morning, you may well be experiencing this, and I'm sorry about that. But we do want you to feel you can belong. We want to become friends with you. But small groups enable us to make friends more easily, don't they? And it's especially important because we have fragmented families, we have increasing loneliness in our society, and geographical separation. Tomorrow night I'm going down to Bristol to see my mum, who's 3.5 hours away on the train, 4 hours away on the train. So there's a lot of that sort of division, isn't there? Or not division, but separation in our society. Small groups provide a sense of family, where we can care for each other, where we can pray for each other, where we can eat with each other. And life change tends to happen in small groups. It happens in circles, not rows. It's more difficult to change when we're all sat like we are in this morning in a bus. And as you know, we're hoping to put that right before too long. In a circle, we can have a dialogue about applying faith to our lives. When two or three are gathered, you can do that. Small groups provide an environment for growth, for sharing the good news. Come over to my house is a much easier invitation than come with me to church sometimes, isn't it? And as we know, some of our groups are growing and flourishing and will need to divide into two in due course so that they, again, are small enough for people to join again. And groups have many different forms. There's home groups, there's Refresh for carers and mums and dads on a Tuesday morning, Creative Minds on a Monday afternoon, the Monday Club, Thursday morning community, gospel choir. So we should expect each of these groups to grow as we share our faith with our colleagues and our friends and our neighbours. We hope there'll be a gentle trickle of people into each of the groups. And Matt's going to be talking more about that next month in a sermon. So two things we've done so far, abiding in God and growing in groups. And then the third one is encouraging vocation. That sounds like a bit of a big word. But vocation simply means what each of us is called by God to be and to do. So for some people, it'll be a specific ministry. It might simply be sitting in your armchair at home and praying for St. Mary's and for Ely. For others, it might be serving in a simple way, making the coffee, serving at the food bank. For others, though, it might well be being called into leadership, or into ministry, and even to have a dog collar put around your neck eventually. Vocation is about faithful discipleship in everyday life. Last week we heard from Elisa, didn't we? And she's just now landed back in Brazil with Marcos to fulfill their calling, their vocation, to vulnerable women in Brazil. And we heard in our Advent stories that we saw some of them on the screen here, and hopefully many of you will have been on YouTube and seen the full set. But we heard, for example, Graham Biss talking about his vocation to share the good news with people at his workplace and how he's doing that on the science park down near Cambridge. So each one of us is gifted. Every single one of us in this room has been given gifts specifically for the work that God is calling us to do. Each one of us is gifted by God to play a part in his church, a part in his kingdom. So I really would encourage you, if you're not sure what your gifts are, to come and have them discovered. We can talk that through, and there's some little exercises we can do to work that out. So please do discover your gifts. Some of us will be being called to ordination in this room, I'm sure. Others to leadership. Others to play in a worship band. Others to host a home group. Others to pray for the church at home. Others to befriend clients of CAP who need someone to walk with them during that difficult period while they're being freed from debt. Others to help sit with pupils in Ely College in the chaplaincy on a lunchtime. Others to help lead messy church at St. Mary's School. others to make grant applications for the building transformation project, others to help in JAM or creche, our children's work, others to become youth leaders, others to plant a church, others to serve coffee here on a Thursday or a Sunday, others to read the lesson on a Sunday morning, others just to befriend people and listen to them, others to welcome people at every event. So do bring your talents to the party. I implore you to do that. Everyone has a vocation. Please find yours. When you leave, just as we've done with our holy habits, we'll give you a handout. There's a précis of the sermon in it. And then on the back, there's some questions, two questions for each of these three things. So abiding in God, the questions are, what holy habits am I practicing? Am I developing a way of life? Growing in groups, am I connected to a small group somewhere in St. Mary's? Who is God calling me to invite to my group? An encouraging vocation, what gifts and talents has God given me? How am I using them in the church and community? So please do take one of these, and just as you have with holy habits, use them in home groups or just get together in the pub or in a coffee shop with a couple of friends and talk them through about what they mean for each one of us. So before we finish, I'd just like to pray a Franciscan blessing over us. And I've added one paragraph on the end, so I hope St. Francis won't look on it too poorly. But let's pray. May God bless us with a restless discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may seek truth and love deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we really can make a difference in this world, so that we bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. And finally, may God fill us, as he filled Jesus, with his Holy Spirit, to engage, to make disciples, to grow, to baptize, and to deepen, to find our vocation. Amen. As we reflect.